This is Jean Marie Laskus with the podcast Cement City. So there's this election coming up, a big one, and one guy's been indicted. People are talking voter fraud. Democracy itself is on the line. Sound familiar? Well, this isn't that election. This one is in Denora, Pennsylvania, a dying town in the middle of nowhere, where I bought a house and stayed for 3 years. Listen to and follow Cement City, an Odyssey original podcast in partnership with Cement City Productions, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Wichita's number one talk.
Good morning, 8 o'clock. This is the KNSS Morning News with Steve and Ted. I'm Steve McIntosh. Hurricane Milton makes landfall. We have the story.
Woman arrested after allegedly shooting her son in southeast Wichita. I'm Ted Woodward. Those details just ahead.
Kansas is number four in the nation when it comes to bad driving. I'm Dan O'Neill.
Hurricane Milton made landfall in Florida as a Category 3 hurricane last night, bringing severe rain, winds, and flooding to the Sunshine State. Fox Weather's Ari Sarsalari is on the ground in Orlando with the latest.
The eye actually went a little bit farther north than some of those latest forecasts were showing, at least as it went inland. It actually made landfall a little bit farther toward the south than the models were showing, but this back eye wall is absolutely no slouch. For a second there, I was thinking maybe the worst is over, because it doesn't look terrible on radar compared to that ferocious-looking northern eyewall causing a lot of damage. But we've had sustained winds here, 40 to 50 miles an hour, I would say, a couple gusts over 70. Now, the damage that we've seen so far in Orlando, overall actually relatively minor, and we still have power.
Milton has now been downgraded to a Category 1 hurricane. At least 3 million people across the state of Florida reportedly without power.
Tornadoes spawned in Florida ahead of the hurricane, making landfall. St. Lucie County Sheriff Keith Pearson describing what he saw of the twisters.
So there's hundreds of houses that are just destroyed. Anything that was in the path of these multiple tornadoes, our deputies are on the scene. We were out. I was in a patrol car watching cars getting split off of I-95 as these multiple tornadoes came through.
130 tornado warnings went out across Florida yesterday.
A Wichita woman has been arrested after police say she shot her 16-year-old son Wednesday morning in the 9100 block of East Terry at the Claremont Apartments. The 46-year-old woman called 911 and reported that she had shot her son, who was then hospitalized in extremely critical condition. The woman was arrested on suspicion of aggravated battery, aggravated assault, domestic violence, and aggravated assault.
The $450 million school bond for Wichita Public Schools will be put to a vote. The Kansas Board of Education approved the special election for February 25th. If approved, the district says the money would be used to update schools, part of the facility's master plan.
Kansas has been named one of the worst states for driving behavior.
A study published in Forbes Advisor ranks Kansas the ninth overall worst state. The study shows Kansas is number two among the states for texting while driving. Kansas also ranks in the top 10 of other bad driving categories, such as changing lanes or turning without signaling, eating while driving, and speeding up to make it through a yellow light. Other states that ranked higher include Oregon at number two, and Hawaii is number one. Dan O'Neill, KNSS News.
Israel says Iran will pay a price for its ballistic missile attack last week. Fox's Mike Tobin with the latest on the conflict in the Middle East.
The U.S. has been pushing for a strike that is symbolic and avoids sparking a larger war, according to Israeli sources. With that, President Biden had his first phone call with the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu since August. Iran, with its foreign minister Abbas Araghchi in Saudi Arabia, threatened consequences for any neighboring countries that allow Israel to use their airspace for a strike. There is no let-up in the battering the Israeli Air Force is delivering to Lebanon, with punishment concentrating in the neighborhood called Dahia, where most of Hezbollah's leadership was killed and civilians suffer.
Northern Israel continues to take rocket fire from Hezbollah in Lebanon, where Americans are being urged to evacuate.
A country music superstar countersues his accuser.
Garth Brooks has named his sexual accuser in a lawsuit he filed in response to her accusations. He's asking for compensatory and punitive damages after alleging she tried to extort millions from him. The 62-year-old country superstar filed the lawsuit on Tuesday, according to Page Six, stating, when Jane Roe threatened to publish lies about him, intending to blackmail plaintiff into paying her millions of dollars, plaintiff filed his lawsuit to preserve his reputation. Because his accuser allegedly leaked his name, Brooks decided to submit a secondary filing that included both their names. In the countersuit, Brooks claimed that the allegations are not true. Michelle Polino, Fox News.
KNSS News Time, now 8:04, 4 minutes past 8 o'clock.
We've got the Royals-Yankees highlights coming up in baseball, and of course our Minute with Mitch, 60-second preview of the Chiefs' off week is coming up as well in sports.
Former President Trump criticizing hurricane response. That story and more just ahead on the KNSS Morning News. The KNSS Morning News now, 8:08, 8 minutes past 8 o'clock. A Wichita man convicted of robbing area pharmacies was sentenced to more than 10 years in prison. 42-year-old Stephen Stone found guilty on 6 counts of aggravated robbery, including the theft of hydrocodone pills. Prosecutors said he robbed 6 pharmacies between 2021 and 2022. Former President Trump rallied in Pennsylvania, criticizing the Biden administration's handling of Hurricane Helene. Fox's Aisha Hazmi reports.
FEMA was great under Trump.
The political storm is growing as former President Trump once again slams the federal government's hurricane response ahead of monster storm Milton's landfall in Florida. RNC co-chair Lara Trump even threatening legal action in North Carolina to make sure everyone can vote. The State Board of Elections has already approved measures to promote ballot access for 13 counties hit by Hurricane Helene. The GOP nominee rallying in President Biden's birthplace of Scranton, Pennsylvania, where he announced he's going after deep blue states. Trump is targeting blue-collar workers hit hard by the economy. As Vice President Kamala Harris heads to Erie, Pennsylvania on Monday, both candidates are chasing female suburban voters here.
South Dakota is removing people from its voter polls.
South Dakota's top election official has removed 273 people from the state's rolls as early voting is already underway ahead of the November general election. The State Department of Public Safety said those removed are non-U.S. citizens and that the discovery was part of a review to ensure the integrity of South Dakota's elections. Opponents, though, say the move is illegal and could disenfranchise valid voters. The state's chapter of the American Civil Liberties Union is calling for the purged voters to be reinstated. Tom Graham, Fox News.
Artwork stolen by Nazis in Austria before World War II is returned to the owner's descendants.
The Monet pastel, which depicts rocks along the shoreline of the Normandy coast, was one of 20,000 items recovered by the FBI art crime team out of an estimated 600,000 artworks and millions of books and religious objects stolen by the Nazis. Helen Lowe says her grandparents fled Vienna after the Nazis annexed Austria in 1938, leaving almost everything behind. They tried to ship their valuables to London, but found out later they had been auctioned off to fund the Third Reich. She said that even though her grandparents had identified as Jewish and baptized their children as Protestant, they were still considered Jewish under Nazi law. Relatives who stayed behind were killed in concentration camps. Lee Silicera, Fox News.
KNSS News Time now, 8:11, 11 minutes past 8 o'clock.
Got a stalled out vehicle. This is in a very high traffic area, and it's really going to slow things down. This is eastbound on Kellogg, but it's right there at the ramp from I-135. It's already starting to back up. You can expect a slowdown if you're trying to exit from I-135, either north or southbound over there to eastbound Kellogg. Right now, things not looking so good. You can see that on those Cordell and Cordell traffic cameras. Traffic update from 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. I'm Jad Chambers.
Now the forecast with meteorologist Ronnell Williams.
There's a small chance for a shower or thunderstorm, mainly during the early part of the day, so morning hours, possibly into the early part of the afternoon. We only stand at around a 10% chance in severe weather not expected. Otherwise, partly cloudy to mostly sunny skies and another warm high of 85. With your Storm Track 3 forecast, I'm meteorologist Rena Williams.
Now a clear sky, 59 degrees, southeast wind at 6 miles per hour. At Wichita Severe Weather Station, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. 8:12 with Steve and Ted in the morning, and Hurricane Milton has been, during the night, crossing the state of Florida from west to east. And we have a report this morning, Fox News Radio's Eben Brown with us from Miami. Good morning, Eben.
Good morning.
So, how's the assessment? Was it worse than expected? Better? Easier than expected? Anything you heard so far?
It was as bad as expected, and been parts horrible. There was a record number of tornado warnings throughout all of this. I know you guys know what tornadoes are.
Yes, we do.
You may not have much experience with hurricanes, but you know what tornadoes are. Well, we had 55 tornado warnings out of the Miami National Weather Service office. Ew. All within a couple hours, it felt like.
Yeah.
And two different ones were spotted about 15 miles from my house out in the Everglades. That's close enough for my comfort. One was in the Port St. Lucie area, which is kind of north of the Palm Beaches on the East Coast, not where the storm was approaching, but still connected to the storm. Yeah. And it killed four people.
Wow.
And these were not people who were told to evacuate, because why would you? The storm wasn't coming there, right? The storm surge and all that stuff. Now, back over on the West Coast, yes, the storm surge was horrific. It was in a slightly different spot than what was being predicted, because the storm turned later in the day. So instead of that 15 feet hitting into Tampa Bay and whatnot, it went a little further south. Bradenton, Sarasota, Siesta Key, Venice, those areas got the brunt of the surge. Now, when that happens, the water is actually drawn out of Tampa Bay, believe it or not, and the bay bed goes dry to a great degree. But when that water comes back in, it's ferocious, and it causes a surge anyway.
Wow.
You mix that with the intense winds of 120-plus miles an hour and those rains, and you have catastrophe. You have flash flooding. In St. Petersburg, the roof was ripped off Tropicana Field, where the Tampa Bay Rays Major League Baseball team plays and where 10,000 or so first responders were staged. They had to run for cover. A construction crane in downtown St. Petersburg fell, and it fell on top of the building housing the historic Tampa Bay Times newspaper. Looks like that building's been destroyed. And we haven't been able to count anything yet. Sun's only been up for a couple hours. I can tell you that there's 3.3 or so million power customers in the dark. And we have about 50,000 linemen ready to go in the state, and so they'll get to work on that. But first, the roads have to get cleared out. And they have to exactly figure out where the power outages are. Is it a damaged substation? Is it damaged through the transmission lines? All that can be repaired probably quickly. But if the power company's job is to get the power to your property, so if your property is damaged and can't receive the power, then you can't get your lights back on until you get that part fixed, right? Where the power hits the house, where the meter box and all that stuff. So that's, that'll be a stumbling block for sure. And like I said, we've had a number of tornadoes. There was Lake Placid is a town just south of Sebring. It's not coastal by any means, but it took a tornado and it tore through a neighborhood pretty bad. Orlando, smack dab in the middle of the state, not near a coast, has flash flooding. The streets are waterlogged. I mean, not just waterlogged. I mean, they've got boats going through it to do rescues.
Right.
So, yeah, these things are pretty bad. Yep. when these things happen.
Sounds like a bad one. Have you heard any new storms brewing out there in the Atlantic coming our way?
Good question. We the tropical season is not over, so that's still a possibility.
Yeah,
it goes
to
the end of November.
Yeah.
We have a storm called Leslie that's been out there, but it's just going to stay out in the ocean. It's not going to do much to anyone. It's going to get close to some islands out on the eastern Atlantic, but as of right now, nothing is brewing. There was another low pressure system off the Florida coast. It seems like that has vanished, but we have one that probably in 7 days might have a chance of turning into something. It's off the African coast, and it could come out this way, whatever that is. So we don't know what'll happen with that. But the season goes on through November 30th, and we have plenty of chances for more catastrophes. We certainly do.
Well, Florida had barely started cleaning up, I guess, from Helene, and then this hit. So there's a lot of cleanup to do, and as you described,
there's a lot of cleanup to do. And yeah. Then in the Fort Myers area, there was a lot of people just got back into their homes after Hurricane Ian from 2022. So this is a compounding problem. It always is.
Evan, hey, thanks for being with us as always. We appreciate it. Fox News Radio's Evan Brown reporting from Florida this morning, where a few minutes before that we heard from a former Sedgwick County Sheriff, Robert Hinshaw, who's living in Florida these days, and he survived the storm all right, so there you go. Steve and Ted in the morning here on KNSS, 8:17 with Steve and Ted. Let's take a look at entertainment news this morning with Ted Woodward.
Or sports.
Or sports, whatever you want to do right now.
Yeah, I think we better do sports.
I'm just thinking ahead.
I know you're thinking ahead. You're wanting to get to the blur.
The sports, though.
Major League Baseball playoffs last night, Game 3, tied at one game apiece. The Royals hosting the top team in the league, the New York Yankees. Another close one between these two. The Yankees had a 2-0 lead. The Royals rallied for two to tie it in the bottom of the fifth inning. But after that, the Royals couldn't get any offense going. Only had 2 for 15 at the plate to finish the game. But the Yankees, who would get that one big hit? Oh, man, it was the Yankees. Here's the action on TBS.
High fly ball, deep left field. Back goes Melendez. Forget about it. It's gone. In large part, this night has belonged to Giancarlo Stanton. And he gives the Yankees the lead, 3-2 in the eighth.
There's your final score. That was the only run in the final four innings for either team. And the Royals could not counter.
This is Jean Marie Laskus with the podcast Cement City. So there's this election coming up, a big one. And one guy's been indicted. People are talking voter fraud. Democracy itself is on the line. Sound familiar? Well, this isn't that election. This one is in Denora, Pennsylvania, a dying town in the middle of nowhere, where I bought a house and stayed for 3 years. Listen to and follow Cement City, an Odyssey original podcast in partnership with Cement City Productions, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yankees win it 3-2. So the Yankees now have a 2-1 lead in this best-of-five series. 40,000 fans at the game last night at Kauffman Stadium. You heard the game on 97.5 and 1240 KFH. All right. That means the Royals must win tonight in Game 4 to keep their season alive. The Royals hosting the New York Yankees. Game 4 of their best-of-five playoff series tonight. Royals down 2-1. Live coverage of the Royals and the Yankees at 6:30 this evening. First pitch at 7:08 p.m., listen live on 97.5 and 1240 KFH. The problem with the Royals is they can't get anything going off the Yankees bullpen. In the series, the Yankees bullpen, 13 2/3 innings, 0 earned runs allowed.
Yeah, there's a heat.
So once the Yankees go into the bullpen, the game's over. So we'll see if the Royals can find a way to counter that tonight. Over in the National League, we had Game 4 last night in San Diego. The Padres hosting the top team in the big leagues, the Los Angeles Dodgers. Dodgers had to win to keep their season alive, and they did. They did big time. 8-0 Dodgers win it. Coming out of the bullpen for the Dodgers, Blake Treinen, the Wichita native, throwing a scoreless eighth inning. That best of five is tied at 2 games apiece. Game 5 in Dodger Stadium. Padres and the Dodgers, that'll be tomorrow night. We have Thursday night football tonight to get the week started in the National Football League. It's the San Francisco 49ers going up to Seattle to take on the first place Seahawks. Despite the fact the 49ers have not won a road game this season, Vegas has the 49ers as a 3.5-point favorite. The Seahawks have dropped 2 in a row. Live coverage of Thursday night football at 6:30 this evening. You can listen to that on 1330 AM KNSS. And a happy birthday today to Willie Davis, the former Kansas City Chiefs wide receiver. Willie caught that game-winning touchdown on that famous Monday Night Football game, Elway versus Montana. The Chiefs won 31-28 in Denver. They call it one of the top five Monday Night Football games in NFL history. In fact, the anniversary of that is a week from today, so we'll talk more about that then. But Willie Davis played 9 years in the NFL, the first 6 with the Chiefs, and he's currently in the front office for the Chiefs and as senior personnel executive. He's helped them win these 3 Super Bowls here during this run. Former Chiefs receiver Willie Davis, it's his birthday. He is 57 years old today.
And in JUCO volleyball, the number one ranked team in the nation wins again. Cowley sweeping Labette 3-0 in Arkansas City last night. Cowley volleyball team, undefeated national champs last season. They're 20-0 this season, ranked number one in the nation. Cowley has now won 61 matches in a row. That's sports with Steve and Ted.
Wow, that's something. 8:21, Steve and Ted coming up the Hannity Morning Minute. Sean criticizes Biden-Harris response to hurricanes. That's on the way. Steve and Ted in the morning here on KNSS.
Wichita's nationally recognized Marconi Awarded radio show. This is Steve and Ted on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS.
Good morning, Steve McIntosh. Ted Woodward here on this Thursday morning. Hurricane Milton made landfall in Florida as a Category 3 hurricane Wednesday night, rampaging through the Sunshine State with heavy wind and rain. National Hurricane Center Deputy Director Jamie Rome says the east coast of Florida could see the effects of the storm soon, as it already has.
We saw this heavy rain and flash flooding along into the north of where the Milton is tracking. It has developed over the last several hours, several flash flood emergencies along the I-4 corridor. And this is all spreading eastward and likely to already impacting Orlando.
Milton has now been downgraded to a Category 1 hurricane. More than 2 million people in Florida still without power.
A University of Kansas instructor is on administrative leave after comments he made in the classroom about men not voting for women for president. A video was taken in class that is now circulating online.
It's what frustrates me. There are going to be some males in our society that will refuse to vote for a potential female president because they don't think females are smart enough to be president. We could line all those guys up and shoot them. They clearly don't understand the way the world works. Did I say that? Scratch that from the recording. I don't want the dean's hearing that I said that.
Phil Locock has since apologized. The school released a statement saying that his intent was to emphasize women's rights and equality and that he, quote, recognized that he did a poor job of doing so.
Guardsmen with the Tennessee Army National Guards A Company 169th Divisional Sustainment Support Battalion deployed a tactical water purification system this week to provide drinking water to communities affected by Hurricane Helene.
They set up in Johnson County behind the Pleasant Grove Baptist Church to purify water from Roan Creek. That location was selected because it's near a population that was severely affected by the hurricane and is close to the interstate to make it easier to distribute. In environments without portable water, the tactical water purification system is a quick solution. It can purify 1,500 gallons of water per hour from a fresh water source. In just 2 hours, they distributed more than 1,800 gallons of water to the local population. Now the team is filtering and providing clean water at a greater volume to those in need instead of bringing in more water trucks. The same system was last used by the Tennessee National Guard in a 2023 deployment to Syria for Operation Inherent Resolve, where over 765,000 gallons of water were purified during that deployment. The salute to service is brought to you by Jimmy's Family Diner, a Wichita tradition since 1987. We invite you to read more stories about veterans and active military on our webpage at knssradio.com. Dan O'Neill, KNSS News.
Steve and Ted in the morning, KNSS 850 now on this Tuesday morning. Three big things. Kansas Board of Education approves a vote on the bond issue for Wichita schools in February.
Two.
Woman accused of shooting her teenage son in southeast Wichita.
One.
Hurricane Milton moving across Florida, downgraded to a Category 1. Three big things, Steve and Ted on KNSS.
Right now in traffic, those traffic volumes are getting thinner out there, but still seeing some fairly heavy traffic eastbound Kellogg. It's right around the Central Business District area at the moment. And remember, just a little ways east of there, we got a stalled out vehicle, and that's pretty close to the ramp from I-135. You can see that all on those Cordell and Cordell traffic cameras. Traffic update from 98.7 at 1330 KNSS. I'm Jed Chambers.
Sunny today with a high of 86 degrees. Clear tonight, the overnight low 58. Friday, sunny. Tomorrow's high, 87 degrees. Now partly cloudy. Southeast wind at 6 miles per hour. 59 degrees at Wichita Severe Weather Station. 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. And the trading day is underway on Wall Street this morning. The Dow is down by about 94 points. The S&P is off 22 points. The NASDAQ is down 110 points. Tens of millions of Social Security recipients will learn today how big a cost of living boost they'll get to their benefits next year. In advance of the announcement, analysts forecast the benefit boost would be about 2.5% for 2025. That is smaller than the increase the past 2 years.
And local business news from the Wichita Business Journal. A development company from Dallas expanding its residential work into Mays. Bridger Companies, a real estate developer and operator focused on cities in the Midwest and Southwest, has started infrastructure work on The Heights at Mays. That's a 40-acre single-family and duplex development on the west side of 119th Street West, about a quarter mile south of 37th Street North. Fisher Wells, managing partner at Bridger, said the development broke ground back in August. They're planning to build 120 duplex housing units on 26 acres.
Community and technical colleges across Kansas are not immune from the enrollment challenges that traditional four-year institutions are up against. New figures from the Kansas Board of Regents show the number of full-time students at the 19 community colleges in the state has grown by an average 2.5% over the last year, but has declined by nearly 9% over the past 5 years. They like a likely link to lasting impacts of the COVID-19 pandemic. Community colleges are also battling enrollment challenges when it comes to total headcounts, with the KBROR data showing an average 5.5% drop since 2019. Community colleges in Seward County, Pratt, Dodge City, and Garden City are notably showing a five-year climb in total headcounts compared to the others around the state.
After 2.5 weeks of stalemate, Textron Aviation and local machinist union representatives are set to meet today for the first time since the machinist strike began September 23rd. That was according to a statement this week, Textron Aviation confirming the company and International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers, Locals Lodge 774, have agreed to return to the negotiating table. Local business news from the Wichita Business Journal.
Steve is Ted in the morning here on KNSS. And Ted, so what's going on with the Royals tonight? They're playing another game, is that right, tonight at Roy? It's a Kauffman Stadium.
Game four tonight.
Yeah.
Got to win to keep the season alive. If the Royals lose, the season's over.
Our back is to the wall, right?
So got to get things done.
Got to do it
against
tonight.
One of the premier pitchers in Major League Baseball, Garrett Cole for the Yankees.
All right.
Michael Wacha on the mound for the Royals. We'll see if he's up to it.
Right, coming up, we got the Glenn Beck program here, looking at Hurricane Milton's impact. That's what Glenn Beck's about this morning. And our top of the hour news is an update on Hurricane Milton, all that's been going on across the state of Florida through the night. If you missed any of today's show or just want to listen again, check out the Odyssey app. Thank you for listening. Stay tuned for Glenn Beck, the Dana Lash Show. News updates all day. Steve and Ted in the morning on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita. Am I on Central Daylight Time this morning?
Well, yeah, but, you know, I think you're anticipating the weekend.
Yeah.
You know tomorrow's Friday.
Tomorrow's Friday. I'm looking forward to it.
We're running a minute early.
So we're going to have Mitch on tomorrow, is that right?
Oh, yeah, we'll have our, Mitch even on. Though it's a bye week, even though the Chiefs don't play this weekend, we will have our live Friday morning visit with Mitch.
I apologize for taking off early like that. I looked at Jad Chambers, and he turned red, and he was about to pass out.
He checked out a minute early.
All right, Stephen's head of the morning on KNSS. Check it out early, but we'll be here tomorrow morning right
Yay!
On time.
Yay!
Diabetes.
I'm Jean Marie Laskus. I'm a journalist. I spent my career helping Americans understand the lives of other Americans. Coal miners, gun shop clerks, staffers in the White House mailroom. In my new podcast, Cement City, I tell the story of an entire town. A dying town that you have absolutely no reason to care about. But trust me, you will. Listen to and follow Cement City, an Odyssey original podcast in partnership with Cement City Productions. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.